Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Liz Cannon, along with the under pressure Baco. How are you, sir?
What a lot of people don't understand, Liz, is that there's a lot of pressure performing a podcast.
Sometimes it's good, just like something about Mary. You gotta let it loose before
yeah, and it's like
the
you
show.
Have to make sure the Skype connection's working that you pressed record.
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm well. How are you, man?
I'm great.
Episode 102, baby. We're not talking about Dalmatians this week, are we?
Well, we can. 102 Dalmatians was a sequel. It starred Glenn Close as the Cruella de Vil. You want to just now? Do you want to now? I'm
hey, probably the ugliest hot chick, huh?
Yeah, she's not. Yeah,
she's some nasty squish.
definitely have to. She's definitely got angles. There's different angles.
Yeah. Our name's Glenn, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Glenn. Yeah. What woman do you've ever met named Glenn, right? That is true.
Although I bet she could knock out Danzig.
Oh, God.
We're off and running, baby.
Speaking of, you know that little dump near me called Herman's Hideaway that has all the randomly in March, guess who's playing there?
Danzig?
Doyle.
Oh, yeah, he was just here. I almost went, but I don't know.
Why would you? Why would you? He doesn't even play guitar.
I am a fan.
That guy, I mean, every day he gets up, he ingests like, I don't know, 3 pounds of steroids. He does his hair in that greasy thing, paints his face. Can you imagine him at Starbucks just like other people? I'd love to see him at Starbucks ordering a pumpkin spice latte. Yes.
Yeah, of course. It'd have to be vegan.
Oh, vegan? Okay, that's right. A vegan latte. Do you have any coffee that's vegan? Does Starbucks even know what that means? I don't even know what that means.
Don't you think your average Starbucks order has too many words in it for Doyle?
Yeah, his entire response is, yeah, he can't even order. He's got to just say, he goes, coffee.
That's it. Yeah, there's no way he's like, I'll take a Frappuccino latte with a little bit of pumpkin spice sprinkles, and could you leave room for cream?
What size do you want? Coffee.
Yes.
Sir, what size do you want to use, credit card or cash?
Whatever.
Yes. Yeah, he's a man of many words, and apparently he doesn't play guitar. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, we heard that from Joey, who heard it from, I can't remember who he said it was. Not that important. I don't know, maybe? I'm not sure what... what to think of it, because the guitar parts for the Misfits and his own stuff, it's not hard to play.
Right.
And I don't know. I've seen him a bunch of times. It looks like he's playing, so I don't know why they would have somebody off stage doing it. Maybe they got a guy, filling things in so that, you know, he doesn't have to be as tight, and he can be more the monster running around or something. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't have anything other than what we heard. So I.
Yeah. All right. So we went off. Anyway. So the point is, I'm a little sore, Baco. I'm a little backed up, and that is because there's a lot of albums that came out this year. They got, we've done this every year, and that is these albums. They've got me all worked up. They're artists that I like, and they almost took me to the finish line, but I'm left with nothing but blue balls, and that's the albums we're talking about. That means we're about halfway there, living on a prayer and living on a sore sack. So what kind of albums you want to talk? Any you want to start with? You want me to start? I think you have a few.
Well, let me just kind of elaborate on what you were just saying, because we definitely come at this differently, especially when it's someone that I'm fired up to hear the record by. It takes very little for me to like go, oh my God, I'm so happy I got this, like right away. Like, I'm easy to please right out of the gate if I'm already into the artist.
All right.
But then they just don't sustain it for me. And I, kind of like we were talking about Danko last episode, as time progresses and I get a little more, like, I find myself being more like disgruntled, and I'm like, did he really say that? I'm not happy in this relationship. Were you pretty much know almost right away. You are much more critical and clean right off the gate. I need to, when I have an emotional connection to the artist, I need to let it breathe a little bit before I'll be honest with it.
Yeah, see, me, I'm super critical in the beginning, and then sometimes there's a couple of tracks.
Your wife thinks so too.
I'm super critical I'm super critical at first, and then sometimes there's a couple tracks that I finally warm up to. It's kind of the reverse for me. Like I there's instantaneously, there's dislike, anyway. So there are quite a few here that I have, but for so an album, I should define an album this way too, and this goes into our top five, which we'll kind of go into this as well in the next episode. Is an album to me is, there's a lot of artists now, and a lot of it has to do with how the industry has changed, that they do what I call front loading for the albums, because there's only so much attention you can have. And this was talked about in a different podcast too. And we'll go into our top five
by
podcasts.
Us. I can't remember if we've talked about this before or not.
I think we have, but it comes down.
But anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Just like a real album. The track listing of it and the flow of it is important. Like, you don't want
very
to,
much
right. So you got, and Michael Wagner
sequencing
talked about this.
They call that
sequence, exactly the sequence of it. Michael Wagner talking about, and I can't remember what it was, but he said, like, here's the four best songs in the album. Every album produced.
The first track, the second track aside one, the first track aside two, and the last track aside two are the four best songs when he is producing.
Right, and I think there's a lot of argument too to go to. We might do an episode called Track Three, because there's a lot of
albums. Track Three singles,
right, and stuff like that. And
actually, a lot of Track Three opening singles, like the first song released from a record.
Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff, and that's sometimes if you want. In this, we're bombarded by music these days. Go to Track Three sometimes for a band you don't know, because sometimes that is their best song. But going back to this. That's what a lot of these albums did, is that they front-loaded them. The first four or five songs were great, and then it just fell to shit for the second half. And I think a lot of that
has to do with... I thought Red Sun Rising's Polyester Zeal was like that.
You're right. Yeah, that one was front-loaded too. Like, I liked... that passed the Blue Balls test, because I think I liked 7 or 8 out of the 11. But yeah, it definitely fell apart on the second half.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good record overall, I think, but the first four are just like gangbusters. And
unbelievable.
Then it's like, yeah, and then it's like, not bad.
Right. So that's the deal. Like an album, the ones that are in my top five, at least, are ones that are sequenced right, or actual true albums, not a bunch of songs wedged together, because I can tell that they definitely saw the art of the complete work. So What do you want to start with? Why don't you start? Because I did last time. I know you have a few of blue balls.
Okay. Well, fair enough. On the Goodbye June record is a bit of a blue balls record for me.
Really?
Yeah. This one is front and back heavy, and in between it kind of dies down. It's a pleasurable listen all the way through, but the killer tracks really stand out.
Okay. And any tracks specifically you want to feature, or do you just want to continue on, or what do you want?
I mean, Bamboozled to me was just, you know, a song that kind of carried the summer a little bit for me.
Yeah, man, great pick. That is a killer track. And again,
great band, by the way. If you haven't seen them, just you're watching just some high end musicianship across
Nashville,
the board.
Nashville people, right?
Yeah, hard to find a good musician in Nashville. So kudos to them.
You know, before we do another Blue Balls one, what I'd like to do is that there's a. I gotta tell you though, overall 2017, I really don't have any complaints on because I
have a few. I broke a foot.
I
didn't break a foot. I fucked up my foot, broke a wrist. But no, 2017's been a lot of fun other than my body.
No, listen, 2017, fuck 2017 for me, personal life. It has been horrible between income and me falling down the stairs like an old man, me having a temporary career as an Uber driver. But my whole point of that is that there's been so much music that has gotten me through. It has been a horrific year.
No, it's been a pretty good year music wise.
That's what I mean.
My gut tells me 2016 was better for me.
Nah, not for
me. Haven't compared. I have not put it side by side, and we haven't touched on our top five, so we'll see.
No, and one of those I'm just going to touch on, and I'm not going to feature it because it hasn't. I just listened to it like one or two times. I can't. There's a couple cool parts, but it didn't completely grab me. Is that finally one of my
the new
bands,
Taylor Swift?
One of my bands that I love. Two of their albums, and a few others too, but I love Deliverance and I love Why Is Blood, and that is Corrosion of Conformity. And they finally are back with Pepper Keenan, because that's the only lineup that I cared about when they had that lineup. And they're coming out with a new album in January. They're back on tour with Black Label Society. They're coming to town. I've got press passes to it at the end of December. I am excited. So here's the thing, is that they have a single called Cast the First Stone, which I believe is the name of the new album coming out too. But it's pretty solid. It's not to the quality of those. I really hope that there's better tracks on it. So I was excited. So that's kind of a blue ball single in general for me. But one of the ones that I'm just going to feature is that one of the bands I discovered this year from an album that came out, I believe, in 2015 was the Funny Named, but I know that you like the tracks I played here, and that's Audrey Horne. Remember that funny name? It was there's a song called Volcano Girl that you really liked in a previous episode. Yes? Yeah. Coming back to you? Big harmonizing guitars. Huge
That's
sound.
On the list of, like, by the way, a little inside, because what a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that Luce likes to demand that I give him all these records or here and there. And then he always on our show says, I'll send you that. Literally, go back and keep score. I haven't got any of them. I'm still waiting for Body Count. I'm still waiting for Audrey Horne. I just remembered. So carry on.
Okay. I'll send it to you.
But thank God I got you the Glorious Sons in such short order.
I'll send it to you, okay?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Anyway, okay. So...
You heard it, so I'm never going to get it.
so oddly today on Spotify, this wonderful thing called Release Radar, which sees your whole algorithm and sees what stuff you like.
Spotify, Gene Simmons calls it, illegal downloading.
Yeah. So I was like, so this made it. This is a new single from Audrey Horne. And again, Thin Lizzy guitars, just huge harmonizing, catchy as fuck.
Big butts.
And that is their new single that came out today. And that is This Is War.
I am fueled to the fire.
All right. So, ridiculous name. Apparently, it's named after a character on Twin Peaks. And mm-hmm. their album, you must check out, that I've played two tracks on, is called Pure Heavy in 2015. This one
you
looks like
send
it's coming
that
out.
To me.
Huh? Yeah, okay, I'll send
that
to
me.
But anyway, so what Blue Balls albums do you have? What were some bands that came out this year that didn't make it for you?
Well, the new Foo Fighters, I was pretty hyped for, and it didn't really back it up, I guess. You know, I mean, it's a good record, but
it's all over the place, right? Just odd picks. There are some songs I really like, but it's very similar, I would say, to a Queens of the Stone Age, but there are some good songs.
Yeah, no, I actually enjoy the record overall, but there doesn't seem to be almost kind of different what we were saying earlier on the Goodbye June. This is more kind of a plateau. There really aren't a lot of highs. There's a couple, but for the most part, it just is kind of an even keeled, kind of middle of the road record. Well, do you know the story about how they ended up picking the producer for this album?
No, I don't even know his name.
Yeah, his name is Greg Kirsten, and
who?
Greg Kirsten. You ever heard of him?
No, that doesn't sound okay. Okay,
I actually don't like the production on this record, but we talked about that already.
All right,
but it
did
just,
he? Bubba, hold on. Did he use the Neve though? At least that big board. He did the whole
no,
documentary
he did not.
On
yeah,
HBO.
The whole documentary about Sound City. Yeah. No, that's still sitting in his garage, not being used.
That doesn't make any sense. Continue.
But yeah, anyway, no, Greg Kirsten, or he has done stuff like more poppy stuff like Britney Spears and Harmar Superstar, a local favorite here, Kylie Minogue, Kesha, Sia.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
wow.
303, a recent Devo record, according to Wikipedia here, but Foster the People, that kind of stuff. But
wow.
Dave wanted something with big kind of harmonic choruses.
All right.
Which you will notice that are pretty much throughout the entire record. So he clearly had to have a role in some of the songwriting if that was the case, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on the record? I mean, you kind of feel the same way, like it's or did
I do.
You like it more?
Yeah, I mean, we played like that one slower song. I can't remember the title off the
T-shirt?
Top of my head. No, that's the intro one, but you played another one on our Gene Simmons.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Fuck.
It doesn't matter. But the that one was good.
Dirty Water.
Dirty Water. That's a great slow burn. And there's also it's a single. It has a very odd.
The Sky
name.
Is the Neighborhood.
I like that song. I like
so
that
do
song
I.
too.
I like Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for a band that, you know, can still sell out stadiums, pretty big disappointment. Don't you agree?
I don't know, disappointment. A little bit of a letdown, let's put it that way.
That's fine, that's fine. And here's another band, too, that's scattered all over the place, you know, and that is Stone Sour. Now...
Yeah, okay, I get where you're going.
Yeah. I mean,
keep going.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they're ones that have... that are what you're talking about, where like that one Foo Fighters album, they always have some highs, and then they have some songs you cannot recall at all. But that if you did a greatest hits, like a headlining show of Stone Sour, because you saw them recently, right? Like about 2 months ago?
Yep.
Were they great live?
Mm-hmm.
Set list, I'm sure, was incredible for the most part.
Yeah, I texted you a picture of it along with mm-hmm. another picture.
Yep. And that's the whole thing is that here's a perfect example of what I hate about albums these days is know your limitations, self-edit, just like podcasters. We edit on the show. We know what stuff we need to cut out. There's no reason that anybody should have 17 tracks on an album.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is not the 80s when we're going, hey, suddenly we have all this room and we need to put 15 songs on here. We know better now, okay? Go back to the format of like 35 to 50 minutes. That's what you get.
Max, yes, brother. Yeah. I mean, my God.
Hard to stay focused as an album when you go beyond that. Unless you're going to do like The Wall, you know.
Double album. This is enough. This one they put out was enough to be like, it's almost like a Use Your Illusion length album. It's
a triple EP.
We'll go into that in a second. That's a good point. That's a funny term. So, but yeah, I mean, this is, it's too long. It's meandering. But the thing is that I would say all my top five albums are less than 40 minutes, looking at this list real quick. And I think that's accurate.
I would say in general, in my favorite albums of all time, pretty much hit in that category. And right. Even this record that we're talking about, I remember initially you had a much more favorable view of it than I did. And then after listening to it a few times, it was exactly what you're talking about. There was just too much fat to cut out. Once yep. I got through it a couple times, I'm like, there are a good 4 to 6 songs on this record. And there's this good solid album worth of music here. And then there's like 7 songs I don't want.
Right. And that's the problem with all this is that all of a sudden, again, old school, I don't look at it as here's a collection of songs. I look at it as a complete piece of art. And that's
exactly
the problem. Yeah. Is it starts to...
when I hear the last notes of... I Want You, I'm all immediately thinking of the
right.
You know, I mean, my brain automatically goes there.
But the thing is that there are some of the best songs that Stone Sour has released in quite a while on this album. But when you
absolutely
have it, if you have it surrounded by a bunch of turds, it stinks up the whole meal. And so that's why this is a Blue Balls album for me. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what song, you know, the title track, Hydrograd, is pretty good. They're funny titles overall. Like, I might even go through them. I've mentioned them in a previous episode. But do you have a particular one? Because there's one that really grew on me that was a single earlier. But now I like a lot more.
Song 3, I like
yes.
a decent amount.
Yes, okay. That's the one I wanted to feature. Is at first I was like, this is too poppy. I'm like, this is just a well-written fucking song.
It really is.
If you take a step towards me, you will take my breath away. So I'll keep you close and keep my secret safe. No one else has ever loved me. No one else has ever tried. I never understood how much I could take. Then I saw the worst was over. When I laid my eyes on you, it was all that I could do to know my place. Out of all the past illusions, out of all the dreams come true, I was gone until I finally saw your face. If you cry,
that's cool. I'm surprised you like that one. Yeah, that really.
That's because you don't listen to anything I fucking say.
Sorry, man. So you've not gone to too many concerts lately, right? Stone Sour, and has there been a couple more since then?
No. October was kind of a busy month for other crap. I passed on Trivium because they wouldn't give me two passes, and I've seen them a couple times. I have two photo galleries from other concerts, and I'm like, I'll go out and I'll cover the show and that kind of stuff. It's kind of an irritant with me. It's like you act like you're being so like, I'm sorry, we only have, you could, it's fucking Trivium. You have room for two people.
Oh, they did the thing where they said they don't have two passes.
Right. So I just, right. I passed on it. And by the way, they reached out to me with both an interview opportunity and the credentials. And then when I asked for a second one, just because if I'm going to go there and review the show, I should enjoy the show. And you know how you do that is when you're there with somebody. And plus, when you got to have a little bit of help. It always makes a difference. So
sure.
I just said, fuck it. You know what? You're not Katy Perry, okay? I'm not doing this alone.
But you would do it alone for Katy Perry, right?
Of course, yeah. I'd almost insist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, being up front when she does Roar, amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's such a great song, don't you think? It's just uplifting, and that's daughter, the reason that I'd want to be 6 feet from her, just to hear her roar.
Absolutely. So let's move on to somebody in that caliber of artist, and that is Tom Kiefer. Yes? I saw Cinderella. I recently
him
saw
and, I think he, him and Vince Neil are roommates.
What, they got the people that can sing and the people that can't?
It's like they both live in Nashville. They share an apartment.
Oh, okay. It's the odd couple. He just he falls down the stairs and eats cheeseburgers at midnight, and Tom Kiefer is just like resting and drinking tea to make his vocal cords still work so he doesn't have to go back in surgery. I'd love to see this too. Just messy as fuck.
Tom Kiefer is getting vocal cord surgery, and Vince Neil's like, why bother?
You don't need to sing.
That's the odd couple.
This is Vince Neil. Tom Kiefer. He's a Vince Neil. Is this Vince Neil's voice? I don't even know anymore.
Eat a fucking Chipotle. Oh, you'll sing much better there, Tom.
No, but also I can see that they're fucking with a thermostat. And Tom Kiefer is turning it down to 60 degrees all the time because that man, I don't know if you noticed this or if he's sick or something, I've never seen any human sweat more than this motherfucker on stage.
Yeah, he came out looking normal. He strummed the guitar once and then it was basically like he walked out of a shower.
I was like thinking, I couldn't get press passes for this, so I went to the show anyway. And I was like, I'm glad I'm not in the press pit because I'd be soaked. I mean, this guy looked like the scene. You know the scene in Airplane where
Robert Stack, is that his name? What's his name?
No, that's not the actor. But whatever the lead guy is, he's just sweat is just pouring out of him.
Sweating more than him, yeah. the original drummer in Jesus Chrysler was a sweater. That fucker had his shirt off before the first song was over.
No, I mean, when I was watching him, I was like, he should have, you know how Steven Tyler has the scarfs on his mic.
Yes.
That guy should have had like gym towels hanging on the mic and just like wiping them off. I was just watching him. I mean, he was going to work. I have no complaints on their performance. He was running around. He's going all through it. And like he canceled two concerts before out of like some kind of, I don't know. You know, they say dehydration.
Yeah, he kills it. Yeah, I mean.
Okay. So he's running around.
Robert, he sweats like Robert Hayes. In Airplane.
There you go. Perfect.
Zing!
It's a great scene. That we're going to put as one of the show art. Put Tom Kiefer right next to that guy in that scene. But yeah, so I watched that, and I got to tell you, it's been a while since I've seen a concert. First off, the lineup was Lita Ford, which I could care less about, and then I was like, thank God he's headlining, because I confirmed that before I went. I was like, because I've been to a show, like I told you, where Lita Ford headlined over Slaughter and LA Guns, right?
Well, that's so, actually kind of a benefit, because then you can leave after Slaughter and LA Guns.
Right, but they just play a short. That's what I looked at. It's an old man lineup. You just leave at 10 o'clock and you're done. Here's the thing. Like, she gets up there. First off, I never knew that she played lead guitar, because I didn't really care during the 80s about her stuff. Good performer. Voice sounds good. She looks good. She wasn't wearing her red outfit
like
last time.
Well, she's a talky singer, too.
She talks too much and everything like that. But they played a at the end of the concert, the lead in to Tom Kiefer, they did the Don't Close Your Eyes, Kiss Me Deadly, and Cherry Bomb, and one other song, Hungry, the one you played on the last episode. And it was good.
I'm kind of surprised she played that.
Yeah, it was still a good set, and I enjoyed it, even though I really don't care about her. And then it went into Tom Kiefer, and I got to tell you, I have been wanting to see this lineup forever, and it just hasn't worked out. And I saw Cinderella in like, didn't see in their heyday, but I saw them like 2000 on some one of those retro shows with whatever lineup, and they fucking killed it. It was unbelievable. Best act of the night. Loved them. And I was never that big of a Cinderella fan, but they were just such a good live band. And so I've been waiting to see, and since then I've wanted to see them again. And then he went through the vocal surgery, and you've seen him at least three times.
Yeah, I saw him two years in a row at Grand Rock Timber.
Yeah, this was a 90-minute show though. It was a headline show. Has he played like?
Boy, probably not 90 minutes, but he played over an hour. Because he was a headliner the second year. The first year he was. Kind of late middle of the day. We played probably about an hour. So I probably saw 11 songs and maybe 13 the second time.
What was your impression of the band and him and his vocals?
Well, I want to premise this by saying I'm not the hugest Cinderella diehard. I don't have a... I loved them when they came out, and I bought their first couple records, but it was never my band. So this might sound like sacrilege if you were... Whatever. I would rather see this band than see Cinderella Unite. He's got, two female singers. One is his wife. He's got a keyboard piano player and two guitar player and himself. You know, so it's a full band, and he can do a lot more of that kind of full arrangement than I think he would be shackled to with Cinderella, where he'd either have to have, like, Gary Corbett come on as kind of like this guy on the side of the stage.
Sure.
But nothing against any of that. I'm sure I would enjoy a Cinderella show just fine. But it was so good. And it really was like the highlight. I couldn't believe how good that band was. And how good he sounded, too, because I'd heard all the stories. And it was just amazing. The set list was spot on. Sounds like I maybe saw a song or two you didn't.
Yep.
Because he loves me and doesn't love you.
Yeah, he was odd. He opened the concert with a song that I thought was one of his solo songs. He's only played like three of them. But it was he actually played the title track off of Still Climbing, which was their failed fourth album.
Never even heard it.
Neither have I. I was like, what the fuck am I listening to? And it wasn't that a bad song per se. But I was like, is this a... Then I looked at the set list after and I was like, what? What a weird choice for that. But spot on the entire night. My God, exactly what you're talking about. I don't see any reason he should get back with Cinderella, because his voice, he did not mess around. He was not doing the whole Dokken or Vince Neil or any like, kind of like just kind of...
The corpse of Dokken.
Yeah, the corpse of Dokken. Just kind of going...
Wheel me out on stage, boys.
Yeah, Chipotle runs. No, this guy went full on, sweating over the stage, just on fire the entire time. I smiled basically the entire concert. That's all I got to tell you. It was just a lot of fun. All I can tell you is after that concert, they must have taken him in the back and just hosed him off. Just it was amazing the amount of sweat that man lost. He must have lost at least 5 pounds in sweat alone. But let's play in exactly what he would have said at the end of it, and that's Save Me.
When I was a young
Alice Cooper had a new record this year, and
it's definitely a Blue Balls album. Continue.
Yeah. I like it, you know, for me, I've been kind of just becoming a much bigger Alice Cooper fan in the last 2 years. But
mostly this because record, of me and your wife.
Yeah, for just do me a solid. It's because of my.
It's
wife.
Because of her. It's because of her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I like the record. I really do. Unlike some of the contemporaries that I would compare him to, Kiss. This record at least sounds like something he wants to do. He sounds invested in the project. Yep. He's trying to put out a record. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was good, and there's a couple really cool tracks on here.
Absolutely. What are you going to feature, though?
Oh, God. You know, I did such great preparation. I have no fucking clue. We already played the Fireball song. We've already played a couple off here, but let's play one we haven't, obviously. Holy Water.
Walking cane, I got a black cat on a golden chain. I got a white shirt with a bloody stain. Going to the river of love. She got long hair, big brown eyes. She belonged there. It was no surprise. Nothing wrong there. She made me realize. We're going to the river of love. We're going down to the river of love. Depravity, I got waylaid by all the gravity till we went down to the river of love. She is an angel, her name is Tiffany. She kinda strange though, but my epiphany, I wouldn't change yo, cause she's a gift to me. And she leads me to the river of love. We going down to the river of love. The sky until you ring it out. Kiss the devil goodbye. You gotta wrap your arms around the woman you love and raise your eyes to the Lord above. Yeah, raise them up to the Lord above and say,
yeah, man, good pick. I'm in the same thing. Like this, to me, this album is a better produced version of Eyes of Alice Cooper and Dirty Diamonds, essentially.
I will defer to you on that level of speculation.
It's a scattered album. It's kind of like it's a little over the place, has no focus. And I say that not as a dig. It's just that, you know, some songs hit, some they don't. But yeah, man, I was really surprised. I thought you were going to play a different track.
School's out.
What did you think about that those live tracks from the original line?
Whatever, it's okay. It's like a bonus. Yeah, it cost me $2 extra. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it was kind of useless to me. I was like, okay, I can hear them play.
I thought the two songs that he did with that were new songs with the current surviving members of the original Alice Cooper band. They were okay, too.
Yeah, they were okay. That one All-American Girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of doing the transvestite thing. A little trendy. But
a little bit, yeah. He's been watching a little too much Netflix.
That's right. He's been watching
or HBO, or whatever channel Transparent is on.
I've never
ABC
watched that.
Family.
I don't think it's on that channel. That's Amazon Prime. But it's okay. It was okay. But, you know, our friend of the show, Joey of Rock Strikes 10, he's, I think it twice Joey. Or at least once, he has seen that original lineup reunion at some random record store in Texas. That would be pretty awesome to see.
That would be, yeah. No, and hats off to Joey. If you haven't listened to his show, go check out Rock Strikes 10. It's much smarter than this dumb show.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know why, though? Because he doesn't talk. He only plays fucking music.
Here's another track by Radiohead.
But not the one you know.
Just kidding, Joey. We love you. So what's going on to the
next absolutely. Thing? That comes out of a place of respect.
Of course. Anytime we bust balls, we don't bust your balls if we don't like you. So here's the
or thing. If we hate you.
There's no in between. Is that right?
No, we do. We're not a middle of the road podcast here.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, we're not middle of the road. Because there's only two sides of a road. There's the left and the right. There's not three sides to a road, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there's the middle, man. There's the fucking middle.
Oh, that's not a side, is it? You're kind of the yellow lines is the third side. Damn it!
It's the edges. It's the edges. There's four sides.
Oh my God, it's too much. So here's
too many
the thing.
Sides.
One of my bands that I know I've played many times in the show, Shaman's Harvest. There's some tracks that I know you have dug that I've played before. And they had a new album called Red Hands and Black Deeds. They're all about these titles that I always forget. Like if you ask me right now, I would say Black Hands and Red Deeds. But
Silver Tongue and Racy Ladies.
That's right. Yeah, oh yeah, it does kind of sound like a Volbeat title.
Ooh, not what I was going for, but hey.
Yeah, it's true though. So anyway, Shaman's Harvest, their new one. This is the biggest knock. The big knock I have in this album is it has
big knockers,
Bodacious Tatas. No, great movie by the way. If you haven't seen Bodacious Tatas, check it out. Just Google it.
I've only seen Bodacious Tatas 6.
Google Bodacious Tatas and then clear your Google history and burn your computer. Have you been anything I've ever seen?
I was in Teenage Butts Let's Go Nuts 37.
Hey, why don't you type in All Holes Need Filling Volume 8? Well, that's another good track. Another good show. Yeah, let me tell you. Cobras and Fire has ways of getting you divorced quickly. Let me explain how. Here are the things you need to type into your Google machine.
Poop sex.
Yep, that one too. Scheiser porn, type that in. Yes?
Hats off to Courtney Cronin Dold.
Exactly, that's right. That was a steal. What do you say? Okay, so going back to the Shaman's Harvest.
No, let's keep doing this. I got a poop sex story.
We're not going to go into that. Now let's do it. Now let's do another Cobras and Fire hard left. Let's go from poop sex to Shaman's Harvest. Yes, that was actually their working title for the new album was poop sex.
Oh, they got that from I don't know.
Yeah,
they stole that from Dolly Parton.
Oh my God! Can we move on here? I can't even get to.
I'm trying to let you, but you keep pulling me back in.
No, I'm trying to do a Rock Strikes 10. That's just introduce a song. Can I do that, please?
Here's the song. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So this album, first off, it's produced horribly. It's like a quiet, I don't know how to describe it, but if you were, like you've described albums being blue, this is like, I would say special needs purple. Okay. It is a terrible, terribly produced album. There are some great, it is an album, which I'll tell you, the reason it's Blue Balls is there's a ton of highs that get you going. And one of those highs is the song Soul Crusher.
Oh, for me. What no man can take is why you're slaughter feed. Hot eater, you want a taste of me. With this heart of stone, you're just gonna break your teeth. Great digger, go on and bury me. I will rise in 7 days just in time for you to walk to my feet. My believer, you seem to ruin me. So I cover my ears the better that I can see. It's buried deeper than a coal mine. There is no hope for any sunshine. Don't you worry, none, I'll be alright. Just give me love, give me love, give me love. Telling you now that I'm no good. I'll burn you up like I said I would. I'm giving you everything a man should. Don't you give me love, give me love, give me love. Don't you mess around. I'ma keep my feet on the solid ground. Peacekeeper, the bully playground. I will raise my fist before you take my crown. Breath taker, don't wanna break my sound. Digging into the notes till I'm no longer bound. Death reaper, ain't gonna slow down. There'll be one last try before I run him down. It's buried deeper than a coal mine.
Baco, so
all right, loose cannon. Kind of,
what's another kind of Blue Balls album this year?
Well, a friend of the show, Rob, and by the way, instead of doing an impersonation of Rob, I just got way too drunk by 5 o'clock today.
So you fell asleep and you couldn't do the podcast?
Yeah, so yeah. Actually,
a friend of the show, Rob's going to be on here in a few minutes. Should we just keep saying that and he never shows up like that one episode we did? There he is. He's recommending a song for us in a band.
Yeah. Now when we did the Rockin' Pod Expo, his pick a song, any song, was a Jason Isbell song. What was it called?
Something about Cumberland.
Yeah, Cumberland. Cumberland, or you like, what's that thing that wraps around your waist when you get a tuxedo? Cumberback or
Cumberbunch.
Cumberbund.
Isn't that the name of a famous actor?
Benjamin Cumberbund.
Yeah, Cumberbund.
He plays Batman.
He doesn't play Batman. He plays I think he's in some.
He's in Doctor Strange and Sherlock Holmes and
Holmes. That's right. Cabbage
And by
Patch?
The way, is there anybody whose face looks more like someone whose name Benjamin Cumberbatch?
Yeah, that's exactly how he should have been named, right?
Yeah, like when someone like nobody says, "Oh man, I thought you were Steve," when they get introduced to Benjamin Cumberbatch.
No. You want to say it's either that. It's almost like he is somewhere in between the baby and the old man version of Benjamin Button.
Ooh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's like,
and
he's like,
some snooty, pinky pointing tea drinker, right?
He kind of looks like he's a transformer that's in between, like a car and a, and a robot.
He looks like Peter Criss crossed with a piece of poop. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so Jason Isbell was his pick. I went up and bought the record, and I quite like it. It's refreshingly country. I think the record is called Nashville Sound or something in that neighborhood. But the opening track, Last of My Kind, really connected with me. There's a lyric in there that says, everybody counting on the one and the three. If you know what that means, you can relate to at least what it's like to be a musician. But you wanted to do kind of a weird double shot, kind of an outside-the-box thing, right?
Yeah, a little bit outside the box. So,
so that's my pick. What do you got?
Cool, yeah. So there's a band that I've never been really into, except that I love the song that they had on...
Except?
And here's Kool-Aid. So anyway, my pick is a band that I've never really liked. I mean, not liked them, but the whole, like, did you ever get into, like, the whole Irish punk rock thing at all?
You know, there's two big ones that I always get confused.
Me too. Dropkick Murphys, one of them, and what's the other one? God, there's another one.
Fuck,
very similar.
What is the other one? One of them has the singer from Fastway.
Yeah, that's a very odd... That is a fun fact that you know, because I knew that too, and I cannot think of them right now. It's Dropkick Murphys, and there's...
Is Dropkick Murphys the Boston band that does that... fucking dun, super dun. Annoying...
Yes, that one. But that's from
them?
A famous... That's from the movie that I'm trying to reference. I can't think of right now. With Jack Nicholson, Matt Damon, Marky Mark.
God, that song fucking blows. Is that the one
I don't
playing?
Think so.
Oh my God, that is... Seriously, you can't play that. That is the douchiest.
I'm not
the
playing
planet.
That song, motherfucker. Flogging Molly is the one you're
God.
Thinking about. Flogging,
Flogging Molly.
But anyway, so it's a quick album. It's like 38 minutes, which is right in my zone. I don't like the whole album, but track two on it is excellent. And it's called Rebels with a Cause.
In relation to the corner he came from, the company he came. She was from the country, far from the city. They shared one love, they were destined for defeat. He was tortured, he was troubled. She was sick and she was lost, searching for an answer. Rebels with a cause, doing what they do to get what they need. Life was cheap, there were no guarantees. They'd be better off.
night. You can't see the stars from the neon light. Sidewalk's dirty and the river is worse. Underground trains all run in reverse. Nobody here can dance like me. Everybody clapping on the one and the three of mine. The last of my kind. Am I the last of my kind? So many people with so much to do. Winter so cold, my hands turn blue. Old men sleeping on the filthy ground. They spend the whole day just walking around. Nobody else here seems to care. They walk right past them like they ain't even there. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Daddy said the river would always lead me home. But the river can't take me back in time. My daddy's dead and gone. And the family farm's a parking lot. The Walton's five and dime. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? I tried to go to college, but I didn't belong. Everything I said was either funny or wrong. Laughed in my boots, laughed in my jeans. Laughed when they gave me amphetamine. Left me alone in a bad part of town. 36 hours to come back down. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Mama says God won't give you too much to bear. Might be true in Arkansas, but I'm a long, long way from there. That whole world's an old and faded picture in my mind. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind?
So you want to finish this up and we'll go into our and stay tuned for our next week when we've gone from random rants with Garbage and Gold last episode. We got Blue Balls albums and we're working you up, people. We're working up to our top five between Baco and I. The definitive
the
list
are getting longer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're getting to the end. We're deciding when are we going to finish, and we are going to finish with the top five albums there, the definitive list. But before we go, we're going to leave you with a live track from a band that both of us love, the lead singer. My God, cannot do any wrong. But let's do the sign off and I'll intro it. We're going to feature a kick-ass version of the track Midnight Moses by Dead Daisies off their latest. They just did a live album this year and it's produced perfectly. So if you want a little mix of everything of the last three albums, it's a very good package. And speaking of packages, what do you have to say?
Rock's not dead.
It's hiding.
And you found it.
And it's got massive blue balls.
All right, I want to hear you guys help me sing this song, Mr. Tishy.
We'll be right back.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.